Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you've had a good night, that you've got rest, and that you are up and ready to go for the day and spend most of this day with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds so that we can grow in accordance with your word, Father, and to be able to receive the truth of it, so that we be not deceived by mankind and the things of this world, that we can walk upright, Father, in righteousness with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the second chapter of Ephesians. And Ephesians is, this second chapter is quite lengthy. In fact, it's 22 verses long. And it's filled with a lot of good things for us in helping us to understand not only how to walk, but why we should walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, verse 1. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This word quickened, it means made alive. In chapter 1, verse 19, Paul prays for his readers to recognize what God's power has done in them. As part of the answer to this prayer, verses 1-10 informs them of some of the effects divine might has accomplished in them. Now here in verse 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's telling us there in 2 that ye walked, in other words, you lived the course of this world. And the word, of course, signifies all the tendencies, thoughts, pursuits, and deeds, and so on. And that characterizes the present period of history. This world, cosmos, means world system. That is those philosophies, values, and lifestyles that are opposed to God and hostile to him before conversion. The Ephesians used to conduct themselves in accordance with such ungodly values. The prince of the power of the air may be read the ruler of the kingdom in the air. They also used to live by the dictates and wishes of Satan, because you see, he is the prince of the air and of this world. You know, that sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? Especially to us Christians, because we know that we don't serve him. We want no part of him. And that means there is a lot of things going on out here in the world that we are to have nothing to do with at all, because in doing so would lead us back into sin, where we have had our sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ and have been counted as being saved, and we begin our journey walking in righteousness, studying the Word of God, talking with the Lord our Heavenly Father in prayer, and doing all through the name of Jesus. Because you see, as the Holy Spirit guides you and I, his purpose is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his purpose with us. And to get this word, this gospel out in truth. Most are not doing it today. You'd be surprised how many pastors today are going against the word of Almighty God. All right. Now, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, we all had our conversation, means that we all conducted ourselves in contrast to ye in 2:2, which refers to the Gentiles. Note, the we of this verse, which refers to Jews, in essence, all admit we Jews were no better than you Gentiles. Both ethnic groups were sinful. Children of wrath refers to people subject to divine punishment. And we know that when we live in sin, we are going to be punished by God. The word tells us this. And not just in one place, but it's throughout. And especially the New Testament. Now, as we take a look here, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, we've all had our conversation, which means we all conducted ourselves in contrast to ye in 2:2, which refers to the Gentiles. And note that we of this verse, which refers to Jews, in essence, Paul admits we Jews were no better than you Gentiles. I want you to be sure and get this, because you see, they are trying to make a difference today between the Jew and the Gentile. But when it comes to being a child of God, there is no difference. We all belong to the family of God, and we are all brothers and sisters in the Spirit. These are things we have to watch for. And the only way we can watch for and know the truth is by knowing the Word of Almighty God, which means we need to spend a lot of time in His Word. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. 5, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, through those verses, he's letting you and I know, but begins to disclose God's response to man's sin of verse 1 through 3. This divine response is expressed in 3 main verbs. God has quickened us because they were morally dead in sins, and the Lord gave them spiritual life. And 2, and has raised us up together. That is, God has not allowed these Christians to remain in the grave of their old life with its sinful ways and habits, but he brought them into a new life and demonstration of it. And you know, 3, God made us sit together in heavenly places. That is, he has brought us into his presence and into an ultimate relationship with himself. But do you really have a relationship with him? How is your life? Are you really spending time with him in prayer and in his word? Because he will talk to you through both. Think about this. He'll speak to your heart. He'll speak to you through dreams. He'll speak to you through visions. He'll speak to you through his word. When you have a relationship with him, because you see, he loves us. And he does not want anything to go wrong with us. So we need to be spending as much time with him as we can. And a lot of us can spend a lot more time with him than what we are spending. Because you see, there are all kinds of ways of listening to his word and spending time with it and in it. Now, seven. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking here about that he might show or demonstrate, and this denotes the ultimate purpose for all that God did for the Ephesians in verses, actually 4 through 6. It is that throughout eternity, he might make us understand more and more his goodness to us. Because you see, God is always good to us. Now, even when he's correcting us, he's being good to us, because when he is correcting us, it is for our own good. That's why he's doing it, to make sure that we can stay straight. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, there he's letting you and I know that forgives the reason for this future demonstration of divine grace. It is because man owes his salvation to this grace, our undeserved divine favor, and the force of the Greek perfect tense, are you saved, indicates that the Ephesians were spiritually saved at some point in the past and at the present time of Paul's writing, they remain in this state of salvation. The grammatical gender of the word that occurring in the expression that not of yourselves, you know, that cannot refer to the preceding grace or faith, both of which are feminine nouns, nor can it refer to are ye saved, which is a masculine principle. Instead, it refers back and embraces the entire foregoing grace, are you saved, and faith. This means that no part of salvation is of ourselves or due to what we do. The whole of salvation is the gift of God. Man is saved by grace, that is, by the kindness of God in having Jesus die for our sins. But this grace is appropriated through faith. That is, man believes what God has done for him and relies upon Christ's atonement to blot out his sins and bring him to a proper relationship with God. Think about these things. You see, we're finding a whole lot here in this second chapter. And we probably will not get all the way through it, but we will get what God wants us to have. Now, nine, not of works, lest any man should boast. The reason in part that salvation is not achieved by good works is to prevent men from bragging or having earned a place in heaven by themselves. And we know that within ourselves, we can do nothing. without the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are actually nothing. But it is through them that we can do all things. And especially all things that God will call upon us to do. You see, God told us what he put in the church. You remember? Remember that? Him telling us what he put in the church? Think about it for a moment. What God put in the church. If you remember, as we was going through 1 Corinthians, when we got to chapter 12, God told us what he put in the church. Starting there with chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and verse 27, says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing. Helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. That is exactly what God has put in the church. And there's a few more things too also, but that is what is listed in the Word of Almighty God. So we know that the church should be a lot stronger and working and teaching a lot of other things that today they are not doing. And most don't even believe in those gifts that he put in the church. How many churches have you ever been in that had, they had the pastor and Sunday school teachers, and basically that was it, other than workers to do whatever the pastors and all wanted done. But you didn't see any work of the Spirit, did you? You didn't see no miracles. You didn't see no healings. Because they told you that all died when the apostles died. That we don't have it anymore. And you see, that's a lie of Satan. Now, ten. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, that four verifies the assertion of man's good works, having no part in obtaining salvation. Workmanship refers not to our original or physical birth, but to our spiritual birth. What we are spiritually, in the good sense, is due to God, not ourselves. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works means having been morally recreated by Christ Jesus for good works. That is, Jesus remade our spiritual lives so that we could then do good works. The apostle's thinking is this. Since the children has been given spiritual life for the purpose of doing good works, there could have been no good works by him prior to compensation that would merit salvation. Good works follow and do not precede salvation. They follow salvation. They don't come before. So good work, you can do good works before, but it don't bring you salvation. You can be a sinner out here, sinning every day, and yet someone that you know, that you like, falls in need for something, you will help them. Well, that's good work, but that don't give you salvation either. Now, we do good works because we have salvation. And that's why that child of God is out here to do everything he can to help others to find salvation and to walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Now, 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, and we know that that was under the law, that circumcision that was done by hand was done the eighth day to all male children. But you see, that didn't follow under this era that we live in our ways. That has nothing to do with grace. And the Judaizers used it trying to tear down Paul's ministry and make his ministry of no effect. And that was one of the main things they used, was telling the people that even though they was living as Paul's own lived, they still had to be circumcised. Because you see, if they went and were circumcised because of belief, then they had to keep the whole law. And the word tells us this. That's why Jesus, his death and his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven fulfilled the law. Because he couldn't do what the grace of God could do in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. At that time, that refers to the reader's pre-Christian life. And the commonwealth, or the nation of Israel, recalls the concept of ancient Greek city-states, whereby a city or country provided numerous valuable advantages, benefits, and privileges for its citizens, but withheld them from foreigners, since the Gentiles, addressees, used to be aliens from the Jewish nation who were God's people. Now, the Gentiles were without the spiritual blessings given her by God, and without God means not having his help and assistance. This was their spiritual plight before salvation. Because you see, most all of the Gentile nations were idol worshippers, and they had many gods, all kinds of gods. Of course, none real. 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, because Jews had access to God through his temple in Jerusalem, they were said to be nigh. But Gentile nations, geographically removed from the temple, were said to be far off. These terms of space came to denote moral distance, so that to be nigh was to have a proper relationship with God, and to be far off was to have an improper relationship with him. Or, in other words, letting you know that when you was far off, you were still a sinner. Now, For he is our peace, who had made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now we know that the death and the resurrection and Jesus' ascension back to heaven, but his death is what tore that middle wall down and made a way that you and I can go directly unto the Father in prayer and talk with him. We don't have to go through no pastor or no one else. We go to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can go and talk with him. Now, 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, you know, that when Jesus died and all, and was resurrected and went back to heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit to you and I, it abolished that enmity or that hatred caused by an abuse of the law by making the law invalid for his church. You see, the church is not subject to the law. It is subject to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You see, it also lets us know that Christians and Jews and Christian Gentiles now compose this new man, and the Christian church. Think about these things. Because, you see, a lot of us don't. 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross having slain the enmity thereby. And we know that that's exactly what happened with the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a way for you and I to become that child of the living God. 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Now, we are being told there about these things. Those that were afar off, which were the Gentile people at the time, because they wasn't believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that were nigh were the Jewish people. His people. Now, 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. 20. And are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, you know, Christian Gentiles are no longer alienated from God, but now enjoy the same intimate relationship with him and the same spiritual blessing as do Christian Jews. You know, three figures express this unity and equality existing between believing Jews and Gentiles. One, a city. This figure comes from the Greek city and state political concept whereby all inhabitants of a particular city or state were fellow citizens. And we know that we are of the household of Almighty God. And this is what the church's foundation should be built upon. Now, and we know that that foundation should be pastors, teachers, apostles, and prophets, and the chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. And it's, you know, that's what the church is supposed to be built on today. But how many do you know that is? I cannot name you one here in the area in which we live that believes in all these things and is willing to have all these things within the church. And this is a shame. And it's really wrong. 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now, you see, this verse could be read, by whom the whole building being carefully and harmoniously joined together raises into a holy temple for the Lord. Fitly framed together is translated above as being carefully harmoniously joined together. This implies that the harmonious blending of the Jews and the Gentile believers in the church and 22, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ye also, in Greek, is emphatic, and it stresses the Christian Gentiles as well as their Jewish counterparts are part of the church. You see, we are all family. Christians are viewed as a habitation, our dwelling place in whom God lives through His Holy Spirit. You see, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. So God is living through us by the Holy Spirit. Because we know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. How much more do we really need in order to start using our faith in the ways of Almighty God? We have now come to the end of chapter 2. Just think what we have covered in 2 chapters of Ephesians. The strength that it has given us. In knowledge, in truth, and in wisdom. But we have to belong to Him in order to be able to receive the truth and the strength, and especially the strength of faith to see these things done. I want you to think about it. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I close your word now, and I thank you, Father, for this word. I praise you for it, Father. And I praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and give you thanks, Father, for all things that you've given to us to see us through, Father, and to make a way that we can make heaven our home throughout eternity and not be lost and have to serve out eternity to Satan and his evil demons and those that have walked contrary to your word, Father, in that lake of fire. Now, Father, be with us through this day. Keep us all in health, Father, and keep us safe as we travel through this day doing the things we have to do, Father. Now, Father, be with us all. Keep us safe, Father, and bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for this land of ours, that we all have peace, Father, and that we will have more to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Father, help us now throughout this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray you have a good day. And I pray to see you back again this evening at 6 p.m. Have a good one.